What's up, everybody? I'm JJ John Jastrzemski.
And I'm Jason Goff. And if you haven't heard, The Ringer has gone local.
I'm bringing the fire. I'm bringing the rain from the Big Apple with my show, New York, New York.
And I'm repping Chi-Town with my new show, The Full Goal, on all things Chicago.
We've got episodes 3 nights a week with all the reaction to the local teams and guests.
Plus bonus episodes around all the big games and storylines.
So whether you're uptown, downtown, in the burbs, or a transplant,
make sure you follow New York, New York, and The Full Goal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! I'm excited for Jesse today. Take it away.
New hotness coming through.
That haircut's new hotness. Look at you.
A lot of people have complimented me on this haircut. I don't like to brag about it.
I think you should brag about it publicly. Ronnie, can we get that for the YouTube? Is that ringer?
Just that's all we need. Just that opening clip in my head.
And I love it.
We're good.
Oh, man.
Guys, welcome back. Thursday's episode. I don't know what it is. Something in the air. I'm feeling good. You know what it is? I've started to change my diet. I'm actually following through this time as far as the whole weight loss thing goes. And I've only had a handful of walnuts and a little clementine and some coffee today. Oh, and I feel so good. I feel alive. How do you feel, Mike? How many McDonald's biscuits do you have?
I've been doing good today.
Yeah.
We're going to call Feinstein in 5 minutes, by the way. He just confirmed. He can do a phone call. We can call him from the thing. I just sent him his contact information.
You send it to me? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's fine. This is why I stay out of it with you. I want you to succeed separately. I can't be involved.
I don't know what that means.
Well, this whole stupid thing, I'm going to have like a peanut and a, you know, a slice of an orange.
I'm not saying that's my whole life now. I'm just saying it's okay. A good, like, I like to go hard at first because I know if I can go hard, then when it actually is like, you know, all right, let's mellow out. Let's make some more reasonable choices. I'll be able to do it because I was mentally already prepared for the hard part. You know what I mean?
I am rooting for
as
you.
As a man of girth, I cannot confidently say you would never understand.
Then why are you asking me? Oh, man. Yes, I am with you. Here's a nice little goal. We are going to L.A. Mm-hmm. less than 3 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly, as soon as we get tickets and a hotel and all that. But
everything else.
Well, do you already have it?
I believe I booked my plane ticket last night. Well, I have it saved. I haven't booked it. I haven't paid. So.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, I'm booking everything. I'm not waiting on people. No, I'm getting it booked.
Why wouldn't you say something to me about it then?
We're going
to
talk today. We'll get it done today. I haven't booked it. I saw it. There's availability. First class, $790 round trip. Not bad.
Oh, God. This is what I have to deal with
junior
every
research.
Day.
I was helping. Okay. Now you don't have to look.
You know what? Let's get into the show. You've gone ahead and ruined it, as usual.
I thought you would love that.
Okay.
I'm
coming down because I thought you went ahead and purchased.
No.
And that would have upset me.
Nope.
But you haven't. Okay. Okay, let me show you.
Is the ringer picking up? Also, I texted Bill to see if we could meet up so I can get an autographed book from him. No response. Let's get into the show, though. We don't want to dwell on that.
He's probably he wants to surprise you. He loves surprises. We know that.
We're getting blown off. I'm never meeting the man. I can already tell you. What a bummer. I want to meet
now,
one time.
Bro.
I don't even believe in pictures. I want to meet him one time and get a picture.
No, I don't think.
Okay, let's get into the show. We actually have a decent show.
The Rundown. No big picture. That's your decent show for you.
I like the fact that you did that, though. Not just news it out right here. People love it.
Get it out of the way. NFL follow-up and pricing update. We just wanted to touch on a few things that we talked about last week. eBay is now forcing authentication. With eBay's authentication, that is going to have some effects on the hobby. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. SGC has some new pricing and services. And then how could we go any further without talking a little baseball Hall of Fame, even though it's hard to talk about because baseball, what's the deal? Who even cares anymore? I do. I'm just saying that. Weekly pickups, this week's releases. And then at some point, we're also going to have, apparently, Mark Feinstein on the line to talk about a little
baseball. We're going to call him in just a minute. I got all the bad jokes out. Ron has edited this at this point.
Yeah.
I'm on my best behavior.
Smart call.
That's why we can't do live shows, because I am a
100%.
Child. 100%. Would that have got us canceled?
We end it, we haven't even talked about, we also have Jason Holworth from Panini.
Is this our first two-guest show?
Oh my goodness.
Because we had Jason on the YouTube yesterday for some video.
Yep, we ripped some NFT packs that we're doing
our YouTube show. Right.
And then today,
might be the first one.
Today, he's we cut a little bit of that so that we could have him onto the podcast and talk, you know, the details, what's going on with Panini, answering your questions like, why don't I have my cards in the timely manner, or whatever the case may be.
Redemptions, yep.
Yeah, he answered all of that, yeah. And then some. So we'll look forward to that. And then, of course, mailbag.
Let's call Feinsand right now, then.
So no big picture.
Right. Is Feinsand. That cool?
Yeah, why not?
So Jesse's going to call Mark. So Mark works for the MLB Network. Big time guy in baseball. He is not allowed to talk about current rostered players because
he may or may not have a vote in this Hall of Fame, right?
That's a good question.
I don't think he was allowed to tell us.
Ronnie, does that sound right to you? Can you not tell? No, because some guys release their ballots, right?
You know, we're about to have him on the phone.
Am I going
to
hear him on the headphones, right?
Bruh, please.
Ronnie's ignoring me anyways. I'm glad you're here.
You can make ballots public.
You did hear the thing, too, about us cutting my bad joke earlier, correct? Just to confirm.
Totally heard that.
I like this. Ronick's on board today. And you're in agreement we are not mature enough to have a live show. That's okay.
We're all on the same page there.
I was waiting for Ronick to just go, yep.
Yep.
What word answer. 25 years old, by far the most mature guy in the room.
100%.
Is he not answering?
It's ringing. Mark, are you there?
I am here.
There you go.
Sorry, we have new technology, and when someone messes with that technology, it helps to mess.
Yeah. So normally, when you're making this phone call, you're trying to play like, you know, investigative reporter. Gotcha. So.
Oh, that's right. You heard the show last week. That's right. We did get that guy.
I've listened to every show you guys have ever recorded.
That guy was a spineless coward. I will tell you that right now. So we are expecting much more pride out of this phone call.
We have a lot in store for this call. In fact, we're gonna open it with.
Oh geez,
Mark Feinsand.
Oh my god, Mark! I'm gonna keep it short today. I literally just texted Mark 2 minutes ago. I was like, "Hey, we haven't done our research because we're morons."
Yep.
Okay, Mark, I have this question. We aren't sure if you're gonna answer this. Do you have a Hall of Fame vote? Is that something you've ever said publicly, or do you kind of stay away from that?
I do have a Hall of Fame vote.
Do you release your ballot or no?
I typically do. Yes.
Okay. Did you release this one?
Or can you release it right now?
I did not release it. And I will tell you, mostly because in the past few years, it's gotten so heated and so angry among so many people that it hasn't been worth releasing.
Sure.
If you go back and look at my past ballots, and I released them all before a year or two ago, you can see who I vote for. I mean, I don't change who I vote for. So
is your vote one that makes people angry?
No, there's the steroid crowd who loves to yell about why you are or aren't voting for Roger or Barry. There's mm-hmm. the shilling crowd who likes to yell at you one way or another. There's a whole bunch of people who evoke a lot of emotions. And quite honestly, like, I have the honor of being a voter, and I think it's great, and I take it very seriously. But I don't need to have my mentions on Twitter or my email box just jacked up by hateful people who want to yell at you and tell you you're an idiot.
I don't need a brick thrown through the living room window. You know, that's what you're saying. Okay.
Right. And I think, you know, I think next year when some of these guys are off the ballot, I think the temperature will come down a little bit. I'm perfectly happy to tell you. I vote for steroid guys. So
okay.
I was a Clemens voter and a Bonds voter.
Ortiz, A-Rod?
Yep.
Me too. See, me too. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody asked Mike's me who there. I thought was a Hall of Famer. So the Ortiz, obviously the big story. I mean, getting in, let me just voice my issue with this whole thing. And then I did want to relate to cards real quick. I struggle with guys who vote for Ortiz, but don't vote for other people. Like, I guess my thinking is they all used probably.
Yeah.
So let's just be consistent and have them all in. I'm not sure how you can vote yes to David and no to Barry when the evidence is pretty similar in both cases, or lack of evidence, I guess. But
well, I think the evidence against Barry is a little stronger. I mean, there was an entire best-selling book written with a lot of really concrete evidence that was never disputed, right? I mean, it wasn't like if any of that book was completely fabricated and incorrect, you know, Bonds would have sued the pants off those guys, the publisher, the authors, everybody. And, yeah. That never happened. So, you know, the one thing to me, none of them ever failed the league sanction test. You know, the Ortiz thing was an anonymous survey test. If he did fail, we don't know if it was false positive or not. If he did, we don't know what he tested positive for.
Right.
Whereas since testing began the following year, when somebody tests positive, they tell you exactly what they tested positive for, whether it was an amphetamine or, you know, a steroid or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and Ortiz played 13 seasons in the testing era and never tested positive. So, right. Either he had the greatest cover up in the world or he wasn't using. And, you know, the fact that the commissioner came out a number of years back and basically cleared Ortiz's name from that survey test, which he didn't do for anybody else who was ID'd as having as a positive. I think that says something as well. And, you know, like I said, I voted for Bonds and Clemens, so and Manny and Alex. So, you know, the Manny Alex thing is a little different because Manny failed two tests.
Right.
Alex never failed a test, but took a suspension and admitted to having used earlier in his career in Texas. So with those two guys, there's really no question that they used. With Roger and Barry, some people say they never failed a test. They never faced any discipline. And you're talking about the greatest, you know, position player, arguably, in the history of the game. And the guy who won more Cy Young than anybody else in the history of the game. And so that's why, you know, I know they didn't get the 75%, but they got a majority, right? They both got about 65, 66%, which means two out of every three voters thought that they should be in. You know, the problem is that with this election, 66% is not enough. You need three quarters to get there. And I didn't think they were going to get there, and they didn't.
So I think that raises the biggest question for me is I keep seeing things that say, okay, Bonds, Clemens, they're done. They don't have a chance now. But then I'm talking to Mike.
Off the ballot.
Right. But now Mike's saying, no, they still have a chance next year. How does that work? What's the deal?
So after you fall off of the writer's ballot, either because your 10 years of eligibility are up or because you don't garner 5% of the vote, you basically are now eligible to be examined and be a candidate for one of the veterans committees. In this case, it's called the Today's Game Era Committee.
Yeah, is that a new thing or just a new name, Mark? This is what I was confused about.
They split up the veterans. The veterans committee used to look at everybody. They split them up into like four different categories, each of which gets looked at basically once every 4 years. I think the Today's Game Era, which is, I think it's 1981 to the present, maybe. That one meets every 2 years, I think. The next time that committee meets will be this December. So this December, guys like Bonds and Clemens and Schilling and Sosa, who fell off the ballot now, will have the chance to be on the Today's Game ballot. If they're on that ballot, then this panel, I think it's only 16 people, the majority of which is made up of Hall of Famers, will have a chance to vote. You need 12 out of 16 votes, same 75% threshold. And I think there's zero chance that Bonds or Clemens gets in on that vote because Hall of Famers have made it pretty clear they don't want PED guys in the Hall of Fame. So for all the people who are blasting the writers right now for their stupidity of not putting Barry and Roger in the Hall of Fame, they'll have a new target come December because I really, really would be surprised if either of them get in on that ballot.
So I guess in relation to cards and how this could affect a guy's market, Is it less prestigious to get voted in by this group as opposed to the writers' league?
Same thing. Just get you in the hall either way.
You're in the Hall of Fame either way. It's just a matter of it's basically an oversight committee. It's for guys who fell off the ballot or never got voted in.
Okay.
Who, you know, it basically gives them a second chance to have their candidacies examined. And you know, there have been plenty of people who have gotten voted into the Hall of Fame by one of these veterans committees. And those guys are Hall of Famers, you know, but for all the people who love yelling at writers, and I keep bringing this up because people love yelling at writers, you know, I think Harold Baines never topped out at more than 6% of the vote in the writers. And then he got into the veterans committee. So, you know, Harold Baines is one of those guys that people love to scream at as of sort of watering down the Hall of Fame. The writers were the ones who put him in there. Bill Mazeroski, another guy who the writers did not put in, got in on the veterans committee. So, you know, in certain cases, I think the Veterans Committee rights some wrongs. You know, Jim Cott was just elected this year by one of the Veterans Committees, and I think Jim Cott's a perfectly fine Hall of Fame pitcher. But it'll be interesting to see some of these guys go to that committee, and then we'll have a whole fresh set of eyes and fresh set of perspectives to examine the candidacies of some of these, you know, steroid-related guys.
Well, and to be fair, I've hated writers since middle school, so that's not changed for me. So here,
you've hated writing.
Yeah,
it's fair too. Yeah, I'm just guilty by association. Here's why it's interesting. I'll wrap up with this one because so like Ortiz, he's got the 1997 flair base card, PSA 10, 1100 for the population. This card went from averaging about $400 before there was any real Hall of Fame talk back in December. Even now, this thing is up to $600 to $650. And the one thing we started hearing thrown at us was, hey, this new committee, the baseball new era, whatever it's called, committee you just described to us, you know, next year, Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, A-Rod, these guys are getting in. And that's why I wanted to hear from a credible source, because I thought if that is the case, then next October, we need to be loading up on these guys. I mean, we're going to see the Hall of Fame bump especially. But if you're a betting man right now, again, Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, A-Rod, you don't think they get in next year if you had to pick?
Just to be clear, A-Rod just hit his first year off the writer's ballot.
That's so right. Yeah, he's eligible he's another nine.
That committee for another decade.
Okay.
It's Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, and Schilling are the four who just fell off. if I had to be a betting man, I would say Bonds, Clemens, and Sosa have very little chance. Schilling, I would say, has a much better chance because a lot of the
just political with him, right?
A lot of it's political. A lot of it's his outspoken ways against journalists. You know, sure. He put up a tweet a number of years ago with a meme about hanging journalists.
Oh, about Dan Shaughnessy, a Boston guy. I remember that.
And then last year, after the vote was released last year, Schilling went public and said, "I want to be taken off of the writer's ballot. I'd rather have people who actually played the game judging me." So he dropped from 71% last year to about 56 or 58% this year. And I think a lot of that was, okay, you don't want to be on the ballot, then I'm not going to waste one of my votes on you. So I think he'll go to the Veterans Committee. And, you know, just from a straight baseball standpoint, Curt Schilling, you know, is a Hall of Famer.
He's the greatest postseason pitcher of at least my generation. Is that just because I'm a Sox fan? Okay, Smoltz. Yeah, I was going to say because he was dominant, right? Multiple rings. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I think him, Smoltz. You know, you look at guys who did it. Maybe not. I mean, Schilling. People forget Schilling helped carry the '93 Phillies to the World Series, then won the World Series with the Diamondbacks, and then had his run with the Red Sox. I mean, he was, that guy was a horse in October. Madison Bumgarner had a great run with the Giants. Like I said, John Smoltz was a fantastic playoff pitcher with the Braves. Andy Pettit had a really good postseason run with the Yankees. So there have been some guys who have been very good, but Schilling's numbers in the playoffs are crazy. And, even though he's got, I think, 216 wins, which some people say, well, you know, the wins aren't there. People look at wins less than they used to. But Schilling's postseason resume really boosts his candidacy in a major way. So I think, you know, the Veterans Committee will certainly, have a possibility for him there. But the guys who are linked to PEDs, I don't, 5 years ago, Joe Morgan, you know, the late Hall of Famer, sent out a letter to an email to all the voters basically saying, we don't want steroid guys in the Hall of Fame. And if other Hall of Famers agree with that, then, you know, that's going to carry some weight in that committee. So I would say for Bonds, for Clemens and Sosa, I would not count on the Veterans Committee saving them on this one. If anybody's going to have a better shot there, it's going to be Schilling.
So last question, I'll leave you with this one, Mark, just a yes or no. Roland next year. I know he's at 63% this year.
I would say if I had to guess, I'd say yes. Next year or the year after. I think he definitely gets in. He's trending in the right direction. There are a few other guys who are trending in the right direction as well. Todd Helton picked up, I think, 7 or 8 points. He's over the 50% mark. And usually when you see guys moving in that direction, they, you know, like we saw Larry Walker, Edgar Martinez, they get there eventually. And I think what's really interesting to me about next year's ballot, there's one first-time eligible guy who, Carlos Beltran, to me, Hall of Famer. Will be interesting to see how the Astros cheating scandal impacts his Hall of Fame candidacy. But the fact that Clemens, Bonds, Sosa, Schilling are all off the ballot, there's been a big logjam. And a lot of people who vote for 10 players a year and who have been voting for those guys, all of a sudden they're going to have four empty spots on their ballot. And people like Helton, like Roland, like maybe Gary Sheffield, maybe Andrew Jones, who didn't quite fit on a ballot because people had 10 spots and you can only put 10 spots. All of a sudden you got some open spots. People may look a little closer at their candidacy. So Roland, I think, has the best shot for next year without a question.
Nice. Super impromptu. I appreciate you taking the call, Mark. Thanks for jumping on.
Huge
Mark Feinsand is still from the MLB Network, right? I can say that part.
MLB.com and MLB Network. Absolutely.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark. Have a good day, buddy.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
I mean, pretty cool that he actually takes a phone call and text message last minute. I just want to clarity because the notion, and I know you're not as involved in the sports world as I am.
Don't you dare say that.
You're more involved.
Thank you. Yep.
You know, there's been talk like, oh, well, next year with the players committee, Bonds. And again, that's a huge card implication there. If the thinking among experts, which that's what Mark is, that Bonds, Schilling, Sosa, and who's the other one? Clemens are getting in. I mean, look what just happened with Ortiz stuff. Like his stuff is through the roof. The ultra rookie is up 40%. The flair we just talked about is up, 30%? There's a chance there, but it doesn't sound like that's the case, at least according to Mark. So
I am curious, and I didn't say this on, I didn't ask him just because I didn't want to sound dumb.
Yeah, you already had the one question about, we don't need any worse than that.
That's not a dumb, that's for all the new guys who don't care about baseball and want to learn more.
You're good. You're smart.
Mark McGwire, we keep talking about Sosa, but the whole, my childhood is, I know Sosa from the whole like home run thing. McGwire was the other guy, but I never hear about him, and I don't think he's in, right?
Correct. He's not in. He's a guy who's probably...
Does he have more years on the ballot or something, or is he off the ballot as well? Maybe Ronick knows.
So here's the thing. Yeah, if Ronick knows, fantastic. What's difficult...
Oh, Ronick unmuted.
Here we go.
He's off the ballot. He retired earlier than Sosa.
Okay, so he's off the ballot.
He still hasn't gotten the vote.
And I guess he's... I don't know how the Veterans Committee works. Like, if you just stay on that forever, they can just always vote for you, or if there's a tenure and then you're off that too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Additional questions that would have been.
But yeah, he's one you don't ever hear about anymore.
Like okay.
McGwire, I think the chance of him getting in are pretty slim at this point.
So once you kind of fall off the writer's ballot, then it sounds like you.
That's when you go to the Veterans Committee.
Yeah, but if you're like, if you don't get voted in on Veterans Committee.
I think that's it. I think you're out.
Well, and it's like, okay, if you're not in on the first year, like it feels like a first, second year thing. Even if you could be on there for 10 years, I don't know, like.
You also have to get a certain percentage to stay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a part of it as well. But yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm just at this point, I'm super fuzzy on the actual details, but I don't think
it just makes me wonder because all of this stuff relates back to like, okay, well, do I need to be investing in this guy's card now? And honestly, it sounds like McGwire probably doesn't have much of a shot if he hasn't gotten the vote at this point.
I agree.
And the ones we talked about, Sosa, Clemens, Bonds, those are ones that would be hot prospects to consider for. Maybe not next year, but the year after.
Yeah. So at this point, yeah, way off in the future. Mm-hmm. All right. You want to do a little follow up on the NFL stuff, some pricing?
I would not like to.
We don't have to.
I would love to.
We could skip the whole thing.
You didn't let me finish. I would love to. Let me do it. Yeah. Let's just talk real quick. We don't have to spend a lot of time. We've been doing a lot of NFL. Patty Mahomes pricing has continued to rise somewhat. I think we had pulled up a couple cards last week. His optic was the one that you have, right? The PSA 9 or 10? You have the 10.
Still hanging in the 13, 14 range?
Yeah, it's so I think when we talked about it on Monday, it was around 12. Mm-hmm. It's now up to 14.
Okay.
The PSA 9s, I feel like, have jumped.
Are those 300?
More significantly. Those are, no. So before the game last week, it was like 490.
Oh,
now they're about 580.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with the 9 then.
Yeah,
it's just under half close of what the 10 is. Okay.
Yeah.
Who else you got?
Matt Stafford.
I am curious about Stafford. What's his
Stafford?
Story?
I don't get this. Like, maybe it's because he has such a weird pop. So PSA 10s on his rookie, which is the 2009 Topps Chrome. It's actually dropped somewhat. So on Monday, I think we said his pricing was about $950. He's had an additional sale. Again, the pop count's 120. Not a lot. But the additional sale went from $950 down to $750. So quite a big drop. I don't really understand why that is. And when you look at some other, like say PSA 9, there are some additional cards, but not a lot, like 136. But his PSA 9 has continued to increase in price. So
the 10s have stalled out and dropped, but the 9s seem like they're gaining steam.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Stafford. Burrow has basically stayed the same where he was when we were talking about him on Monday. He was about, I think, like 450.
He's prison base.
Yeah, he got up to, I think, at one point, like 460, 470, and he's at 420 now. So 2020 prism Burrow PSA 10. I think guys at this point are just waiting to see what happens. So.
Okay. Yeah, not a ton of movement. That's fair. So we got two actual like newsworthy type items. eBay now authenticating cards.
Yes.
Do you have this?
Yeah.
Can you pull it up on the main?
Yeah.
Can you put it up on the main screen? That'd be sweet.
I can do a lot of things and I can do that.
I could be brown. I could be blue.
I could be violet sky. I could be anything.
So eBay.
Next time, what are you going to do?
Oh, this isn't the eBay official.
This is the one that I had read, but it has the detail.
Go ahead. You want to give us like an overview, hit the high points?
I think overview is essentially you are now going to be, this is the point that I find most interesting, is that it sounds like you are now forced. It's a mandatory authentication of trading cards worth $750 or more.
So raw cards that are not autographed and don't have patches.
raw cards that don't have
no autos.
Oh, they're not doing autos.
Non-graded, non-auto, non-patch cards.
Yes. Okay.
So a Larry Bird rookie that sells for $900 raw will now be sent to the middleman. I don't know what the location is, but CSG is the one who will be responsible for the authentication.
Yes.
Again, noteworthy company. Cool. I can kind of go both ways on this. I like the fact that you're getting some sort of authentication in the middle.
Yep.
I wonder, this is obviously going to expand too. This article even mentions by summertime, they're hoping to lower the threshold to $250 raw and also other graded cards. Mm-hmm. I would tell you this. One thing that terrifies me is what happens when they start doing graded cards and I send a PSA 10 card that sells and then these authenticators say, oh no, this card's not real. Who do you go with then? Like, how does that?
Oh yeah.
I see a potential for conflict there. Well, also patches I think are interesting. I mean, I don't know how you authenticate patches. We see those things slip through the cracks all the time. That scares me.
Here's my biggest concern though, is that for vintage, I don't see it being as much of a problem. For ultra modern, where guys' pricing can change in a game in a matter of days, this just adds an extra amount of time that maybe I don't have.
Absolutely. Because instead of me mailing to Jesse, I'm mailing to this company. Mm-hmm. Again, anybody who mails anything, I mean, we're 1,000 a week sometimes for us. 2 or 3 days delay on one end.
Yep.
Then they get it and they have 48 hours to process it. 2 or 3 days to mail again. You're talking about potential for like an extra 6 to 10, 12 days to get there. And yeah, over the course of that time, what happened to the player?
Yeah, exactly.
I worry about it in that respect. You know, does it cut down on fraud and other things? I guess. I mean,
I think that's the overall reason doing it. Yeah.
Sure.
And yeah, I guess that is a concern. I don't know how I would feel as the buyer.
Here's the thing. You know another easy way to do that? They have to sell. You can't sell raw cards over that amount, period.
Well, I think too, like what about.
That's probably not realistic, by the way.
Well, yeah. What if we put in some kind of why don't eBay put in some kind of system where you couldn't return it in that process?
So they have really tightened up on that now. The return process will really be locked down. So like if Luka gets hurt, you know, blows his knee out.
Yeah.
I think they're going to make it a lot more difficult on the return side of things. That's a good thing. I mean, we don't need people returning like that. So I agree with that. I guess in general too, this is not as big of a story as most people are making it seem like. Like, I don't think this all of a sudden propels CSG to be some unbelievable, all-beating world grading company at all. I don't think it changes that by any means. I don't think it prohibits anybody who is going to sell on eBay from selling or from buying. I really, the more I've thought about this, I'm just kind of like, who cares? I think it's going to be a little bit of an annoyance, and at the end of the day, that's about it.
But if I'm being completely honest, I think that they may lose a little bit of traffic because of this. Because
maybe
I think there's a lot of guys who like this. They want to make sure that their card's authenticated before buying it. But I think there's other guys who are like, hey, I don't want to deal with the time. I want to sell my card right away.
Sure.
And so I'm going to go sell it on this platform. And guys are like, oh, I want that. And I can only get it over on another platform. Just follow over there and I'll just take the risk. Because it's already PSA graded or something. And I trust PSA maybe more than I do CSG.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, like, I just wonder, like, so maybe there'll be some of that. Maybe some people will feel more confident now bidding. I guess the other thing would be, if you're going to do this, why wouldn't you have an option where, hey, by the way, when I send this card to CSG to review, they will slab it for $12 and send it off.
Yeah.
Get it done while they have the card. I just think there would have been ways to do this and maximize it, but
maybe that's something they do in the future.
It also shows you though too, eBay has been out of touch with the card world forever. I mean, just totally out of touch.
Yeah. I mean,
question.
Honestly, they've made changes, but it's like, what took so long?
Yeah. Like Gabriel Davis cards, guys complained all week about getting Gabriel Davis cards returned, the receiver for the Bills who went nuts.
Oh yeah.
That should be automatically flagged in eBay. Like, hey, no returns on this guy. Cause they lost a playoff game. It's easy enough to do that, I think. And this is like I think their annual revenue is like $40 billion. Like, how do you not have people in place to help with that? I don't know. This is why, honestly, I avoid eBay on a personal level. I'll let Matt Sellers, 5-star card, sell it for me. I'll let PC Sports Card sell it and consign. I have no use selling on eBay myself, though.
I did find just one thing about this had nothing really to do with that. I just, as far as the eBay authentication goes, but the eBay news in this article was just that, fastest growth in a sport the first half of last year was tennis. Tennis was up almost 1,800%.
That is insane. Soccer, Pokemon, Marvel.
Yeah.
Soccer makes golf. Sense. I mean, in Pokemon too. Yeah, Marvel's interesting. I kind of would have thought that had come and gone. Golf, the same thing. I mean, it's, yeah, you're seeing markets just get bigger and bigger in the space, which is a good thing. So, yeah.
Cool. So there you go. There's your eBay authentication news. SGC has some new services, pricing. What's the deal?
Yeah. So big, this is actually big news too. I feel like SGC is really settling into that number two type space. Mm-hmm. Like they're kind of pricing and return has become the real focus as opposed to the ultra high end, although they are grading monster cards all the time as well. So now if you go through Nash cards, it's $23. The return time on that is like 22 to 24 days right now mm-hmm. for $23. If you want to do, they also do a 10-day service, which quite frankly, I think is useless.
SGC's been doing a 10-day service.
I think they just announced, or maybe they've been doing it. Either way, they revamped the pricing.
No. Okay. I was just clarifying. Okay. No,
they also now offer a 10-day, maybe they did before. I'm going to tell you right now, I think the 10-day is totally useless. However, the 5-day service, there's an interesting play here with the 5-day service. So through Nash cards, it's $50. 5 business days.
What's it for 10? Do you know?
It's like 60. Oh, excuse me. It's less. It's like 40. Oh. But here's the difference. There's not enough. SGC, great news on the lowering the overall price. That's fantastic. Great news on the 5-day. 10-day means nothing to me. But here's why I think the 5-day is interesting. We're starting to see the resale gain popularity anyways. We're not going to get into those numbers because we do it all the time. And just look, it's just the way of the world right now. SGC's done really well gaining some steam. So when it comes to these new products that are base heavy, especially basketball, I'm trying to think like Elite comes out next week or maybe the week after. If I get a Cade Cunningham card number to 99, that's not a huge card, but it's probably worth $50 to $100.
Yeah.
I think if you can send that to SGC that day for 5 days for $50 and be the first one to market with it. So we saw this with LaMelo Prism stuff through the roof. We saw this with Mac Jones stuff. The pop was 34 for 2 weeks. Cards went from a couple hundred to 3,000. I think there's a real play here with that kind of stuff. The other thing I would tell you is on monster stuff, if you're looking for a super quick way without spending $300 a PSA, hey, I want to know if this, Hank Aaron rookie, I have a feeling it's real. I need to get it. Again, 5 days, $50 is fantastic. You at least know, hey, this is authentic. If you then wanted another holder after that, fine.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I think this starts to open up some different avenues for it, which is a good thing for sure.
I agree, especially for new products to have the ability to know, I have peace of mind because this is graded. I'm going to buy this card because I have a graded option versus a raw option. I'm always going to go graded. In this situation too, PSA is not going to have that card back, even if you do get into one of these services, because you're not going to spend necessarily $300 on a lot of these cards. So you're going to be waiting months. Now you're going to see a market after new product releases where the market's just going to be flooded with SGC stuff. I think it only helps to increase SGC's out there. Obviously other people are trusting them. I'll trust them too. I think it just kind of helps that whole mindset. Yes. Are we paid by SGC? We are. I would like to clarify though, I never even think about it. I never care about that because we only did it because we see so much potential for them to make money. And if I could invest in them as a stock, I definitely would, because I think the way they're handling things is far better than a lot of these other grading companies.
And the way PSA is too. I'm a big fan of what PSA is doing now too. They're at least opening other levels. They're trying.
I agree. It's just like they don't have the capacity to be able to do what SGC does.
Also, there was that graphic I think it was on Monday. We just didn't talk about it. PSA was averaging 180,000 cards a week. SGC was averaging just under 20. BGS was like 13. Yeah, it's just I think you're going to continue to see those two separate, though. I mean, PSA is obviously king of the mountain, but I think you'll start to see more separation now. 1 to 2 is a big gap. I think from 2 to 3, you're going to start seeing as well. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's grading in the right direction, at least. More options, affordable, quicker to get your stuff back.
Mail it. The weekly pickups.
Ooh, I bought a cute card. I forgot about the other stuff I bought this week, but I did buy a cutie. I got it's from like 2013, I think, triple threads.
Ooh.
It's so 3 pieces of jersey.
Yep.
Jimothy Brown, James Brown.
Jimothy.
Triple patch auto. It's the white whale the 1 of 1 version.
Oh.
I love Jim Brown stuff anyways.
Yes.
I told you that very publicly. I'm still tracking down the autograph rookies. I bought 3 or 4. I honestly don't remember what I bought. I'll have to bring them in and show them off. But I bought the Jim Brown. I paid $700.
Oh.
I think it's a good price. I've had fun this year, like actually getting back into just buying stuff to collect now. It's actually been kind of cool.
I'm curious.
Flipping as much.
Are you going to get in on any of the flawless breaks at all? Do you care about?
I will get it on flawless breaks when I can buy players, specific players. So if it's a random player break after it randomizes,
yeah,
I'm all in on Larry Bird.
What? Do you have an idea? What does that cost for a flawless?
None. Case? I have not paid any attention. No. I didn't pay any attention yesterday. Eddie ripped a case of Geo Breaks. I thought it was underwhelming, but then I started, and it still is. The cases are stupid expensive, like $25,000. Jeez. So it was underwhelming because of the overall cost of the case. But like in his case alone, he got a Hakeem Olajuwon on card, super low. I think everything's on card, so I don't have to say that every time. You know, that's picked up steam in the resale market, probably a couple $100. He picked up a nice John Stockton that was low numbered, the Hakeem, an encased Zion Williamson auto numbered to like 5, I think. I mean, yeah, we need him back on the court, but that's at least a few $100. Allen Iverson was another big one. And then he pulled an encased, I don't know if it was a diamond auto or just an auto. It was low numbered and it was the jersey number of James Wiseman.
Oh,
I bet that's okay. At least $1,000 to $2,000. I would think.
So
good stuff. You have to find cheap ways into that though, because it is so expensive.
Can you clarify for me?
Sure.
Grand Slam Collectibles, who we've worked with in the past.
Nate.
Yep. I sent over this picture earlier in our little group chat, and it was a LeBron card, but on the front of the card,
all diamonds.
It's all diamonds. It's like a logo man, not part of the jersey, but just a logo man with diamonds on it. It never says LeBron on the front. It just says it on the back.
I hate that card.
I don't know if I understand the card fully, but I have two questions. One, do cards like that, where there's no auto, it doesn't even have his name on the front, but it's just a bunch of diamonds on the logo man picture, is that worth something?
Yep.
And second question, are those diamonds real?
Yeah, so they come with a certificate. When we opened Flawless here on the YouTube show, remember the piece of paper? You're like, oh, there's that is a certificate of authenticity for the diamond.
Oh, the diamond. Correct. Interesting.
And it could be a diamond, a ruby, and a sapphire. Think of the three they use. Maybe emerald. But now, granted,
small diamonds like that, I don't think it costs a ton, but that's
no, still. But it comes with the, it does come with a certificate like that.
Interesting.
That's what's in the M. So that LeBron card, they do the same thing with Brady. It's an NFL shield.
Yeah.
Nothing on the front. I would never ever buy that. That one-on-one LeBron is probably, to say I have no idea is an understatement. If you told me that card sold for $5,000, I wouldn't be shocked. And if you told me it sold for $50,000, I wouldn't be shocked. So one-on-one LeBron with 10 or 12 diamonds on it out of Flawless.
Yeah.
It's a huge card, but it has no appeal to me personally.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that and I was like, man, diamonds, LeBron, there must be money here. But more I thought about it, I was like, I don't really know. There's not an auto. There's no, his picture's not even on the front. So, okay.
Flawless, my favorite product too. I've said that before. Even in baseball where it's not licensed, I think it's just the coolest stuff. So, yeah. Cool. I will eventually try to get on some breaks. And if I can specifically buy, even if I had to buy the Celtics, I would. But specifically, I would rather just buy the Larry Bird spot. I'm chasing that for PC. That's the only reason I buy into Flawless. Personal collection.
I'm chasing the LeBron triple logo man card.
So $1 million.
If anybody has it, if you want to give that to me, that's fine.
Eddie's got one or two more Masters. If we pulled that, I'd lose my mind. If he pulled that over there,
What happens in a situation like that? Does your head literally explode?
Here's the savage thing about it. Three people have owned. If you're doing a random teams break and that comes up, now if it's a player break, it doesn't matter. It goes to LeBron. But if you're doing a random teams with that,
because
it's one for each of his teams, Lakers, Heat, Cavaliers, I'm telling you, under no circumstance would I allow that to go to the randomizer. If you pull a $50 card with two teams, you do a randomizer, you record the screen, you shuffle it up, team that comes out on top wins it. I would just tell the guys, no, I'm not doing it. We can sell this. You can buy each other out for $333,000 each because it's $1 million card, maybe more. I am not randomizing that card. I'm also not shipping that card. You can fly out and get it.
Yeah.
Sorry. And guys have put up some huge finder's fees. Like there's a couple $50,000 offers just to find the card.
Oh my.
Insane.
How does that work too? Like if I'm the first one to like reach out to one of the guys who has a finder's fee out, like, hey, I just saw it ripped. Does he just, I'm the first one. He gives me $50,000.
Sure. Yeah, of course. There's a ton. I will say too, this year they did really load it up with that kind of stuff. The logo, it's like they held back logo men for that product.
Man.
It's nuts. It's a big week for Panini in general. That came out yesterday.
Yep.
Tomorrow's Immaculate Football.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Is that cool? Immaculate. You know, say what you want about the class. People hate Mac Jones, love him, whatever. Immaculate Football's going to be huge. Immaculate Football's loaded with rookie stuff. The vet stuff in it is awesome. Another one we've been busy with our other stuff lately. I've not done my due diligence with.
Oh, boy.
Brady has no autos in it. I did see that, which stinks. Do you have pricing on that? 2021,
$750. Wait, this is collegiate.
Yeah, man. I was gonna say there's no way. I'm going to guess it's like 1500. 2021 Immaculate Football.
2021. Oh, here it is. Yeah.
Real quick, text message is important. Bobby Witt may be joining us later today to do a little interview.
Hello. Wait, so I kind of already knew it was a maybe. Is there specific timing
and if the product has gotten there.
Oh, if the product has gotten there.
We're going to basically have some info. We're going to have a spot.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I guess. I'm sorry. I blew that. All right, whatever. He's going to be on our YouTube next week is the goal.
And hopefully podcast as
and
well.
And the podcast Monday as well. Yep.
Just tune into all of it, guys. Save yourself the hassle and just watch us 24/7.
Stop listening anywhere. Wait a minute. No. What did you say?
The Panini Immaculate Football Box is $19.29.
That's for 2021?
Yes.
I think that's a 5-box case.
It is. One pack per, what does it say?
Gonna go back to the other page. You're looking at the box.
I know.
I think it's a 5-box case. Huge money. I like it, but I almost view this as a lesser edition of Flawless. Mom and pop type, I buy into breaks once in a while for fun or with my kid. Mm-hmm. It's not the product for you. It's crazy expensive, very high risk, high reward. Case?
The actual case is 11,500.
Oh, no. So it's 6 boxes.
6-box case. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I would say stick to your PYTs and your randoms if you're going to get in at all. And this is one, again, it's expensive. Monsters in there, but you could just as easily get murdered. So you got to be careful.
Okay.
Good.
I am interested in what you have for picks from phone.
Nothing.
Okay.
Totally useless.
Why
this
do
week.
You keep having picks from
Don't home? Don't ever remove that. The day you take it off is the day you, sir, can go back to Dell.
I've been in touch with people at Dell. It's funny.
You've been talking about employment. Not a big deal. No. I read it. I looked at the book. I thought it wasn't yours.
It's funny enough that my former manager is actually in touch with Predators people, and we're going to try and work something out to have some contact there. And that leads us into Jason Holworth from Panini. He's going to join us for a little... Why would you
I just threw my monster can into a metal guard. What a moron.
Oh, my
God. Kobe.
Kobe.
I said Kobe, though, so it doesn't count.
If you want to watch more about Kobe, watch our latest YouTube video.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Big rollout from Golden.
Can't believe it's been 2 years.
All right, let's play the interview. We recorded this yesterday. The rest of it is on our YouTube show with some visuals. But here, we'll play Jason, and then we'll be back for Mailbag. All right, cool. So for this section of the podcast, we're doing this stupid thing where we record a day early because I'm terrible at scheduling. It's my fault. So we talk with Jason. We already introduced him on the YouTube show, so go watch that.
Yep.
We want no introduction now, Jason. Just start talking about anything you want to talk about now. This is
Jason from Panini, man. I could talk about a ton of things. So I'll let you guys, pick and choose where we go, but.
Cool. All right. So let's do this. Let's keep it to the physical. So again, if you're interested in NFT, which obviously Panini is massive in that space now, we did a big NFT giveaway on the YouTube show. So check that out on Sports Cards Nonsense.
If you want to be a part of it, make sure you enter in the comment section, your blockchain ID and your email address.
Yeah. So we'll give all that away on the YouTube. So for the podcast, I figure we kind of keep it, more to the physical. So I just had a couple of quick questions, Jason. So like new exciting stuff. I know you guys are branching off into soccer, UFC, Formula One, all this different stuff. What's kind of new and exciting on the physical card front out of the Panini gate?
Yeah. Branching off into soccer is a little bit of a loaded question given our history with, our history with soccer from a Panini perspective goes back to, the beginning of time, 1961 for Panini. So, but yes, on the trading card side, we've got a lot happening on that front. We've got a FIFA World Cup coming up here in November. That's, seems like forever away, but lots happening on that side. Lots to get excited for. We've got a big US game tomorrow night. So we need a W, get closer to qualifying. We'll be good there. And then, obviously, we're rolling out we got our NBA product out with this year's rookies in, with NBA hoops, that's starting to build that cadence. Thankfully, finally, we're where we need to be there. And then obviously, UFC product coming out, new UFC Prism coming out, at the end of January, beginning of February, WWE in April, new license, super excited for that to launch.
Nice.
Our team's working really hard on that, in terms of autographs and, designing and all that other stuff for WWE Prism.
So let me ask you too, we'll go back to a comment you just made. Obviously, today's a huge day too. We're recording this on Wednesday. Flawless releases today, which is, top of the food chain when it comes to.
I want that LeBron.
You want the $1 million LeBron?
I want the million. I want
okay. Well, Eddie's ripping two cases, so if he hits it, I'll just have him give it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. That,
that'll go over. Yeah, it's fine. Just hand it. The customers don't need that. Don't worry about it. So I am curious. Obviously, Hoops still, you know, released way later than before. There's always like a ton of speculation going around and some actual statements, but while we have you, I just figured let's get it right from the source. So in terms of NBA product getting pushed as far as it has, you know, Flawless from last year coming out today, and next week or two, we have new 2021 rookie class. Why the delay in product like we've seen?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think if you look across the board, there's supply chain issues, logistics issues, you know, in almost every category. We're not immune to that. You know, as a kid, we talked about it on the NFT on YouTube, but as a kid, like, you know, it used to just be ink and paper to us, right? Like, we've made it so much more complex that the process is, you know, whether it's raw materials, paper, you know, manufacturing, you know, all that other stuff, you know, that all factors into the equation. You know, as much as we'd like to say that we're back to normal from a, you know, from a crazy pandemic point of view, we're not. You know, the NBA draft is traditionally held in June. We typically have our rookie photo shoot with those guys, you know, in August. You know, we didn't have any of that. This year, the draft, you know, was, you know, in July, you know, for the new rookie class.
Yeah.
The previous rookie class, the LaMelo class, the draft was in November, and literally they're on the court, you know, 4 weeks
right after that
professional games. So,
yep.
You know, we're not back to that full cadence that we've had for the last, you know, 10 since pre-pandemic, right? We're not there yet.
Yeah. Ultimately, nothing's back to normal yet for you guys or for most
people. Knock on wood, we get the NBA draft in June. You know, we get our rookie photo shoot in August, and then we're back in that cadence, and hopefully supply chain issues and all that other stuff, whether that's, you know, jerseys, you know, you name it, coming in when they need to come in so that we're not waiting for them to get off of ships or whatever else. But yeah, so really tough question, but like, I think, you know, there are no conspiracies. It is supply chain logistics. It's dealing with the pandemic. Everyone is, you know, no one's immune to it. We're all dealing with it in different ways, you know, including, you know, manufacturing.
That's actually what I wanted to hear. Cause again, you hear all these stupid and we're in the social media world, which is full of mainly basement dwellers who can't read. So it's always fun when they have conspiracies and breaking news about Panini from their parents' basement, which I appreciate. That's my generally where I go for my news. So,
we look and read and everything. We're in the social space too. We hear it all too, but yeah, I mean, you know, look, we're a big business, you know, that have supply chain issues, you know, just like everybody else. You know, we're navigating through that. We're hoping that we're going to see we're going to turn the corner here in the next few months. But, you know, if we had a crystal ball to predict that, man, we'd be golden.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Overall, would you say that the card market is still like number one, you know, what you guys are focusing on for the foreseeable future, or are NFTs kind of like taking over some of that space?
I think it's a balance. I mean, obviously the physical space is huge. We're going to see exponential growth again this year. We've got more people involved from a global point of view. More people globally want to get into the trading card space, which is great.
That's why I think I just think like there's so much more opportunity for a wider audience now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and we've got some cool things coming up that are kind of outside the trading card space that you guys will see, you know, over the next, you know, 6 to 8 months, which will be great. And then, you know, the NFT side, like we talked on the YouTube, you know, part of the segment, you know, that's continuing to evolve. It's continuing to grow for us. You know, lots of opportunities there. You know, there are, you know, benefits and, you know, there are pros and cons between physical and NFT space. NFT, we can get speed to market much faster than, you know, a manufacturing issue, you know, manufacturing physical product. You know, that's just because of timelines, the way it's always been. So, you know, less supply chain logistics issues on the NFT side. So we've got a little bit more flexibility there.
Okay.
It's why in some cases, like you've seen some of the first, you know, products on the NBA side release in the NFT format first before we even got to physical.
Oh yeah. Prism, which I actually thought was good because we didn't have anything physical with the new uniforms. I thought getting at least Prism out there NFT, I think guys bought there just because maybe even they didn't care about NFTs before that, but it was like, well, I got to wait a couple more months anyways till Hoops, like, might as well get in. So I did like that move.
And before we jump off the NFT train, because I know we talked about more of this on the YouTube, I didn't get this question asked, but I am curious, are you guys open, like, can people outside the US currently go out and buy NFTs from the Panini website?
Yes.
Okay. So that's not a limited to the US or anything like that. Cool. Okay.
No. And like we said, like I said on the NFT segment, you know, we're going to start accepting other forms of payment besides US dollars, cryptocurrency, foreign currency. You know, you'll see French League come in on NFTs here in the next month. Clearly, you know, the US marketplace might look at that a little bit different. But again, we're catering to a global marketplace to grow the category, you know, for collectors.
Here's the thing that I love about that so much is because now you, like, if you are the NFT guy, you now have a different audience or a wider, larger audience to be able to sell to.
Like, because the marketplace is
there. If you're buying and selling, if you're looking to try and make some money, like, it's great because you've got all these guys here in the States. But if that's your limitation, then I feel like I'm at an advantage that because I can go out with my NFTs, my non-physical cards, and sell to everybody across the world. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. So let me ask you this too, Jason, just to jump back to the physical. Obviously, two of the things we hear people, I've always said they're necessary evils, but again, people would much rather hear it from you than an angry guy in a studio. you know, redemptions and points and packs instead of live autos. Could you just kind of give us a quick walkthrough of why that is, again, kind of like a necessary evil?
Yeah. So let's see where to tackle first. I guess redemptions, right? I mean, look, if we could be 100% live in every single product, we would. You know, unfortunately, we're not the ones that are controlling that part of it. We've got other people involved in that process. Athletes are signing cards for us every day. We actually have 25 of the this year's current NFL rookie class out in LA at our Panini closeout event. Signing cards for us on the back, you know, the back end cards, and also playing catch up if they've got some catch up that they need to do. So, I mean, that's happening right now in real time. You know, we always say that, you know, we want our goal to be as close to live as possible. You know, there's certain numbers that we won't go near and won't release a product if we don't have an X percentage of live rate, you know, in our product. So I think that's that part of it. You know, on the reward side, the reward side's, you know, unique and different. And it's something that we've done for, you know, got it, it feels like forever now, but like the last 5 years, give or take, right? Where we create other items that are redeemable for rewards points. It's no different than, you know, other rewards marketplaces, you know, in other categories, you know, a seat upgrade on a airline. You know, I think when we looked at the rewards side of it, it was, you know, okay, look, if we've got, you know, a C-level player, for lack of a better definition, in a product, and he's late sending out his cards, you know, wouldn't you as a collector prefer to have a C-level player maybe from one of the top teams as opposed to the team that player was on, or one a C-level player from your favorite team, you know, as opposed to that other guy? So given, you know, the collectors the choice to be able to choose what they want to do, there has been, you know, great from a flexibility point, you know, flexibility side of it. We see, like, you know, the rewards points selling on eBay for, you know, X number of, you know, cents per point, whatever, like, you know, that market is up. You know, we release special products that are only available through rewards. So there's, you know, it's a balancing act. It's continuing to, you know, evolve and grow. I think that's, did I get all three of your points there, Mike?
You did, yeah. So let me follow up with the redemption thing too. I mean, yeah, like I said, pretty transparent answers there. So redemptions have always been curious to me. I mean, I've made my money with wax, and so I still hold quite a bit. I am always curious, though, not that this is an official company line, but obviously redemptions have expiration dates. 2020 contenders is something I've got a ton of. And my first thought is, you know, come next summer, at some point, I've got to start thinking about selling those off before Burrow, who's a redemption, expires. Is there a hard and fast rule at Panini right now with redemptions being honored, expiration dates being firm? Like, how is that handled?
If we have the card, we're going to try to get it to the collector that deserves it. I think that's kind of like always been our philosophy. You know, the expiration is there for a reason, to help, you know, to help help the collector, help us, you know, figure out, you know, whether or not there's, you know, something of, you know, equal or, you know, better value that, you know, is worth trading out. You know, we're just FYI, people probably don't know this, but we're redoing our entire CS department, adding more bodies. You know, the evolution and the growth, right? Like the growth of the category in the last 2.5 years in the middle of a pandemic, you know, the fact that product is being ripped, you know, way more frequently, you know, a lot quicker across multiple case breakers at hobby stores all over the place. You know, that volume, that process is just blown up. And, you know, like we talked about, you know, from the logistics side, you know, we're not immune to, you know, the pandemic when it comes to, you know, hiring more people, when it comes to people getting sick. You know, how do you deal with that? You know, start of the year, we're ready to go full speed January 2022. At the beginning, we had 6 people in customer service, you know, come back from the holidays and have to stay at home because they tested positive for COVID. Mm. Like, that 6 bodies not, you know,
right,
working in the system. You know, it's a pain point, man. Like, we feel it, you know, we hate it. We want to get better. We want to keep doing what we're doing and add more to the marketplace, and be able to be responsive to the customers. And that's what we're working on doing. You know, and we're ready to, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get there. You know, knowing that there's, you know, other things that are in play that, you know, we don't control.
Yeah. Cause I mean, obviously, like you said, you guys are in the social media world. I think that's the case with every manufacturer. Everybody wants better, faster customer service. It was funny when we put up the thing saying you were going to be on the show today. I don't know who this person is, but apparently Emily needs a raise. Like 10 people specifically mentioned Emily with customer service. So there you go. Emily, you're getting there a raise.
You go. Emily, do you get that shout out? I'll drop you an email after this. Perfect. You know, I tell the CS team all the time, listen, like, because we're all here, right? Like, I mean, let's just all be real for a minute, right? Did any of us ever call customer service, you know, to just say, hey, in any industry, any category, call customer service and be like, hey, man, I just want to let you guys know you're doing an amazing job. We love you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
a dumping call customer service when we're pissed off. Like,
right.
You know,
of course.
I mean, you've got to have, that's a hard thing to deal with when you don't control all of it. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, our people, you know, they're great. You know, they're busting their butts trying to get better, do more, get more product out. We've sent out more redemptions this year in 2021, I should say, not 2022. We sent out more redemptions, replaced more cards in 2021 than in any other year in the history of Panini.
Nice.
You know,
so you're working on it. Right.
Yeah.
You're working for, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a balancing act for sure.
I think, bottom line, with the number of factors that go into
it, you had to work in a bottom line. I'm glad. I was nervous. You haven't done it yet.
We're at the end of the interview. I got to bottom line it. So, sure. But
what is the bottom line?
With everything that Jason pointed out, with the number of factors, the supply chain issues, the fact that you actually have to get guys, the fact that we're going through a pandemic, it is a surprise that you guys have kept up as well as you have. I think is my overall thought. Because yeah, the first instinct is, you know, blame, you know, Panini, blame whoever's not getting me the thing that I want. But at the end of the day, I would want a little bit of leniency due to all the things, the mitigating factors. So
I think, yeah, and Jesse, you know, thanks. We appreciate that. Number one, number two, like, you know, man, we would love to respond on Twitter and be like, hey, it's supply chain issues, but that's not an excuse. We need to keep working. We need to keep grinding. We need to keep doing what we're doing. That's why we became the leader in 10 years.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
No one knew who I was when people were signing sandwiches being like, oh, Panini, you know, like, come on, let's get real. Look at where we are now. Look at where the category is. That's our growth.
You're more popular than the sandwich. I think that's fair to say. I think that's
right. Yeah. All right. Well, but meatball
ask any rookie who Panini is. They all know who they are.
Yeah. Hey, fair. So I figured we'd end with this too. So you speak of rookies, a couple things we wanted to tease and get some detail. So I know Panini's going to have a huge presence at the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. You want to shed a little light on that?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, we're ready to go full speed, and, you know, things happen, and we're constantly evolving in the space, and we're reacting to what the NFL is telling us, you know, from a protocol point of view. It's in California. I think, you know, no hidden, you know,
yeah,
no hidden, you know, expectation there. You know what you're dealing with.
Sure.
So, you know, we're bringing our Panini VIP player lounge to the, you know, to Super Bowl. We'll have a presence in Super Bowl experience. We'll have a presence on Radio Row. We're going big like we always do. You know, we're excited. We're going to have some people pop in there, players popping in from an activation point. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or you guys are supposed to say this, but we invited Sports Cards Nonsense to come out there.
What?
Jesse yeah. also. And Jesse.
What do you mean?
Jesse
also.
Jesse, sorry. We initially just invited Mike, but we're going to take you too.
Wow.
You're come the star of the show. You're the yeah, so we're pumped about that. We're going to get a ton of content. We are excited.
You can't have Batman without Robin, right? Like you can't
Batman. Yeah, you can't Robin. Have Mike without Batman.
That's fair.
Which is me.
Yeah, you can't yeah. have Ponch without John throwing it back to Chips. But like, I mean, Jesse, I don't know if you know who Chips is, but
yeah, like Doritos. I got it.
Yeah, and panini sandwiches. We're on top of it here, Jason.
California
don't worry about
Highway
it.
Highway Patrol, bro. Come on, check it out.
Oh man.
Well, we're excited to be out there, man. It's gonna be really fun. We really appreciate
it. Let me tease one more quick thing then. So we called in a favor for Jason 2 days ago. We finally got a commitment to Bobby Witt Jr., the baseball player. Stud prospect's gonna be on the YouTube show next week.
Yep.
I haven't followed up yet. We were hoping you could send him some product. What is a chance? I like to put people on the spot live. I figured we'd just check now. So if he breaks our hearts, it happens in front of the audience. Any chance he's going to have something
at his house? You guys gave us the address. We knocked it out. He should be getting it today.
I tell you, there you go.
Jason makes dreams come true.
Dude, he's better than sandwiches. Period. We get to go to the Super Bowl. Listen,
sometimes I make dreams come true. Sometimes I don't. It just depends who you ask and what day it is.
He's going to call back tomorrow. Like, you're not invited to the Super Bowl anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Today's a bad day.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jason. Again, VP of Marketing at Panini. We appreciate the time. If you want to see more of the interview and the live rips and the giveaway stuff, that's on YouTube. There you go. We'll wrap up the show.
Appreciate it, Jason.
Right. Cool. So that was Jason Holworth, VP of Marketing at Panini. Like I said, YouTube station. We ripped like some NFT packs.
He was cool enough to give away packs. We ripped cards.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give those cards away on the YouTube, but we're also going to give away the packs as well.
And it's a few $100s because like the Diaz was big. Some of the stuff we hit was actually pretty good. There's a nice Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to do multiple one or whatever you think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever's easiest.
I think what I said on there was we'd give it away to five people and then he's going to give away five packs to match us.
Yeah.
So go on to the YouTube, watch it, leave a comment, leave your blockchain ID and your email and we'll go from there. Thank you, Panini. And that leads us to mailbag.
Hit it.
We had some good questions this week. I'm happy with this. Brian Olecki, if Brady retires, can we realistically expect a bump?
Yes.
Or is it baked in?
No.
Sports Boy rules. I had to read that last part because it was about.
Did he really put that?
He did.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. There'll be a yes.
Yeah.
Not baked. There's just
the moment he announces.
Yeah, it's huge.
Okay.
I also think people are reading way too much into some of his quotes. He does this every year, but I do. I think he's coming back for sure.
He put out that one post that didn't sound like he was retiring. I saw that, but it didn't sound either way. BD Skronders, is this guy from like from Finland or something?
Yeah, maybe he's from the future. What does that mean though?
I don't know.
Okay,
all the guys from Skronderville.
His own city?
Yeah.
Town?
Yeah. And would he be the future, your surname is based on the city you live in.
Would he be the mayor of Skronderville?
I don't know about mayor, but definitely like
will they have government?
Councilman on the council, that's for sure.
Okay.
The hierarchy is yet to be determined in the future.
TBD.
What happened?
I don't know.
BD wants to know.
Yep.
What are a few of the most valued junk era cards?
The Griffey's number one.
That's the one I
mean, right in the middle of the junk era.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen a lot of that stuff come up now. Even like the Maguires, Maddox, all those rookies of Hall of Famers have actually.
When we talk junk era, it is funny that you just named all these MLB players, because that's immediately what I think of is baseball cards.
No question.
Yep. Does it affect as much football?
I'm sure it does, but in general, you're talking about the early 80s to early 90s baseball.
That was what was
mid 80s. Yeah. They just made so much of it. The market was so much bigger for that sport.
Yeah. Okay. Dave Greger, I just got a few small stands for displaying some of my slabs at home. Any tips, recommendations for displaying cards? That's a perfect lineup for one of our sponsors.
Talk about a drop.
It's displayable. That's the one that we have shown off on our socials and kind of in the office. It's just a nice acrylic case. It looks, like a fancy frame for your cards. You can do it vertical or horizontal. We like it a lot. You get a discount.
Graded, all the great. Yeah. You just pick like if it's a PSA, SGC, BGS, or if it's in a magnetic, They have different sizes for all of them. Yeah, that's what we have here in the office. They're super nice. I have them actually. I have it at home. Anytime you see me at home, the big bookshelf behind me, there's the It's displayable stuff.
I have one right over here. I think you
do too. With the Phil Mickelson. Yeah, you have a Phil Mickelson PSA 10.
Fickelson.
I have a Tom Brady mosaic out of 25 as an SGC 10, both in the It's displayable. My wife's calling me.
SCN is the discount code if you would like to use that on itsdisplayable.com.
I'm not ignoring you, Hannah, but we're almost done.
She'll never believe you.
She'll never listen either. So.
Ruben Mitchell. I remember asking a while back about David Ortiz cards, and Mike stated he wouldn't buy. Thoughts now? You're really eating those words, aren't you?
I stated I wouldn't buy. I don't remember when he asked the question, so I have no idea.
I don't know if he asked that question, but maybe he just recalls you saying you wouldn't buy David Ortiz.
Yeah, I don't remember that part. I mean, obviously I was wrong if I said don't buy at all. I mean, I guess I would depend on, when. Like if you were saying, hey, should I have bought these last February? No. Why tie up your money? I would have bought these in October because we've seen the jump since October, November. Good to see some traditional reasons for prices increasing though. Hall of Fame induction was always a traditional great sign. But last year, matter of fact, when we were doing the podcast, KG, Duncan, and Kobe got inducted the same weekend, and there was zero movement. And I started thinking, man, maybe the new era collector doesn't care about that stuff. Cool to see that the Ortiz market certainly goes against that theory.
Here's the good news, that if you bought this card in June or after of this year.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, that's fair. 97 David Ortiz PSA 10.
Flair. That's the one I want. It's like $600 now.
If you bought it in June or after this year, you're up on that card.
50%.
If you bought it earlier in the year of 2021, you are down on that card.
See?
But anything before 2021, you're up. So. Okay.
So yeah, again, all of it depends on when you buy.
Thank you very much,
Rube,
for pointing out his flaws. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Didn't love it.
Greg Meiser. You know what? I just realized Ruben messaged me right before this. He was asking me, hey, are you guys doing a show today? I didn't see the mailbag. And that's when I texted you, hey, if you could put that up. He responded after that, like, man, your back must hurt from carrying the show all the time.
Did he know he was talking to you?
That's fair. I don't know. I assumed he must. Now that you say that, you might not.
Okay.
Greg Meisner. Mike always mentions that he prefers BGS when it comes to thick RPAs, but I can't recall what the reason for this is. Nothing. Is it just personal preference or? Yep. Okay.
I just like the look of them in a BGS holder. I think they have the nicest looking thick slab. Yep.
Well, there you go.
Mailbag.
Tom.
Brady.
H-A-U, Tom.
He knows his last name.
He knows what his name is. Thanks, Tom. What are some inserts from 2015 to 2020 you guys think will be very popular in like 15 years or so? Pretty interesting question, in my opinion, because there are a few nice sets being very popular. Some not. Okay, whatever.
It doesn't matter. I get the point. Yeah, I mean, some of it's the super easy cop-out answer. Kaboom, Color Blast, Downtown. I think in baseball, some of that finest stuff, like they started doing almost like throwbacks to the early 90s finest, like refractors.
Oh, yeah.
There's a set from last year's finest called The Man. Not the most expensive. I think it's a really, really cool looking set.
What do you think about the big head stuff?
Oh, from Topps, the SPs?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I kind of like that.
I could see those taking off.
I didn't
off.
Know how much love that was getting.
I think the Marvel insert is a cool one. Like when, I think if you're going to say, okay, let's look 15, 20 years down the road, I think you have to start looking then at the first year Marvel, first year Kaboom, first year Downtown. Yeah. I think those will carry a major, major premium. They have another one too. The Kaboom. Man, there's a few. I mean, Panini's done a good job with inserts. Say what you want. There's some inserts that sell through the roof for that very reason. So,
I often find inserts to be much more appealing to me than the rookie. However, financially speaking, I prefer the rookie, of course. Chris Dandoy, Mike and Jesse, I really enjoyed you on YouTube this past week. I'm concerned that the Mark's Cards incident may indicate a more significant issue in the hobby. It is likely that many people who sent cards to PSA over a year ago are overextended financially.
Pause.
Go.
Why is it likely that happened? I'm not trying to attack Chris, but I think this is an issue we have. When we have a story, we get a lot of then speculation about it.
I want to clarify if you heard correctly.
Okay.
He says he's concerned that the Mark Card incident may indicate a more significant issue in the hobby. So he's not saying likely that happened.
I understand.
He's saying it is likely that many people who sent cards to PSA over a year ago are overextended financially or may not want to pay $25 to $50
for I don't know if that's likely. And over a year ago, you're talking 16 for most of these cards. People are overextended so much they can't spend six. Again, this is not an attack on Chris, but I've seen this reasoning lately. Mm-hmm. Like, well, man, the market, they held our cards too long. I mean, the market's changed so much. $16 grading fee. I know the market's come down. I still want my Zion, who was taking the biggest hit. I still want those back for $16 because it's still worth it. That's why I finished it, though. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fair. What's your opinion on the downstream effect this will have on the market? Will people leave the hobby?
I mean, I guess. But if you're going to leave the hobby over over getting taken one time, and it sounds like the majority of people will at least be made whole to a degree. You know, if that's how, if you're leaving the hobby over that, I understand. But I would say it's going to happen with something else if that's the case. I mean, if you're leaving because you had a bad experience, you're going to leave eventually, no matter what. So,
I mean, I think it depends on the, well, what he said, the overextended financial burden that you
people
hold
like,
because of that.
Right, because people like that, people like that are never going to sustain something long term. They're always going to then overextend on something. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to have that big of an effect. I mean, the initial reaction too was bulk subbers are terrible. We're getting rid of bulk subbers. Why? Just find one who operates by the rules and who takes their money at the end of the day, like everybody else, like you should.
Well, the opposite side of that argument is you could say that Mark was operating by the rules until he didn't.
Well, I mean, see, so. But even then he wasn't. He was getting paid up front. That's a huge red flag to me. I would never pay a group set. I pay Chris up front because I don't care.
Yeah.
And even then, you know what's funny? I actually thought about that. I paid for these last few orders mm-hmm. when they popped because I get a finalized invoice from him. So I actually think I misspoke when I said that. I pay at the end for him as well.
Oh, okay.
So that's the first thing. He wasn't doing it correct. Because then you're basically giving him money to put in an escrow account and trust that this idiot's not going to spend my money because I'm paying for a service. I'm not giving you that money to do whatever you want.
So most guys don't do that? They don't take the money up front?
Okay. No, not reputable. Because PSA doesn't charge up front. SGC doesn't charge up front. Why do I have to pay up front?
I guess
that's a dangerous precedent because then you're trusting somebody to do something with your money. I don't. That's like paying your taxes January 1st. I pay my taxes every year. I'm not paying till April 15th. I don't need them holding the money. I'd rather have the money myself. It's not due.
This is the first year I'll actually have to pay taxes, which stinks. I always got
money. I saw the amount of money you made last year. I have no sympathy. So
don't.
You did great. You earned every penny, but I don't have any sympathy. You have to pay tax on it.
I'm not saying you have to have sympathy. I'm just saying
you.
Don't tell people that I made a lot of money last year.
I think they don't know. You have a swagger about you. Just says you're successful.
My pocket is ripped on the shirt I'm wearing. What swagger are you talking about?
There was a man who used to call you Big Sexy when he saw you in a suit. True or false?
I miss that man. Craig Clifton.
Like a lot of people might. I don't know.
I've got $1,000. I want to spend it on prospects or sleepers. Who would y'all recommend? He said y'all, and I like that.
Then by all means, carry it away.
$1,000 to spend on sleepers? You think I know sleepers? I mean, prospects, I think.
Do you know prospects? You might know prospects.
I know some prospects. Here's the thing. Any card from 2021 that has an RC on it, I would just go out there and buy that card. Maxi.
So you missed the boat on that. Oh, are you referring to the Wander?
I'm thinking about like any rookie card, okay. But I guess that's different than prospect. So
yeah. So prospecting Bobby Witt, the guy we were talking about, he is a prospect.
He's in this scenario, are we only talking about baseball then? If you even talk prospect, that means baseball.
It's baseball, right? Because NBA are rookies that come in, NFL are rookies that come in. Prospecting and baseball, they go to the minors.
I've always synonymously gotten rookie and prospect the same in my head. All right. Sure. So that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, what's this kid's name? Guy's name?
Craig.
Yeah. So Craig, I mean, the prospecting game is volatile. You have to pick and choose very carefully. Bobby Witt, I think, is a stud prospect. Would I buy him right now? I don't know. He's very high.
If he comes on the show, I would.
If he comes on the show, I would say just pay more than you should ever pay.
Yeah.
I would say stick to offensively minded guys who have potential pop in their bat. People love home runs. Girls dig the long ball, has been said very publicly.
Really? From sure. Summer Catch? Is that?
I don't know what that was from. Is it from Summer Catch?
It sounds like a line from Summer
Catch. I thought it was before that. I feel like it's like a bull run. I don't know.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is really America's treasure.
Oh, FPJ, of course. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
That's specific good. Names, though. I mean, it's there's guys out of Bowman Chrome, I think, are really good this year. Guys from last year's Bowman draft. You have to research with prospecting like you really do. Who is going to be eligible for a promotion or call up in the near future? You know, what organization are they getting called up to? There's a lot of different factors.
I would think to some of it, what effect does the whole fact that the MLB is currently, on delay?
So huge effect in a good way. I think the more we see that delayed, the more we're going to see because prospects who have not played with a big league club mm-hmm. can still play. Minor league ball will continue. If there's a lockout or a delay of the season, we're going to see minor league ball on TV.
Okay.
So I think it's an interesting opportunity there. But yeah, you just got to pick and choose who you want. You know, you really do though. That takes research, you know, knowing the team. There's a lot to it.
The G League in basketball, would that not be like a
single A, double A, triple A? No, because those are rookies.
Just rookie.
Yeah. I mean, and they don't have cards if they were never even a rookie, if they just went to the G League. So it's baseball.
Okay.
Yep.
Dan Bush. Love your beans. Do you expect to see a bump? I really do though. Do you expect to see a bump in 2020-2021 NBA rookies across the market with a flawless release, or should we expect a downturn with eyes shifting toward the 2021-2022 class being all the new releases moving forward?
I think it's just going to be based on what the 2020 rookies do. LaMelo and Anthony Edwards. Edwards got hurt the other day and I didn't. Ronnie, do you know if he's coming back? The Edwards injury. Have you seen anything about that, Anthony Edwards?
I haven't heard, but I can look it up.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be curious. Like LaMelo's playing really well on a team that's playoff bound. That's enough to carry. I mean, LaMelo's outselling and will continue to outsell anybody in this class. Flawless helps. I think Flawless might be the last release of last year's class. After Flawless, I think everything you see released will be 2021.
Oh, really? Okay.
So the Cade Cunningham class. So, I mean, but then it's like the reasoning would be, okay, so then no one's chasing Ja Morant anymore because he's the last class. Well, no, he's played really well, so his pricing is up.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'll see a dip. You'll obviously see a lot of attention to the new guys because you can finally get their stuff on pro uniforms, though.
Isla Fishman, now that we have seen both the 2020 and the 2021 NFL rookie classes for at least the full season, do you guys think that the 2020 WAX is better to hold long-term based on what we've seen?
Absolutely. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. And then, I mean, a plethora of guys who were just super talented. Justin Jefferson, CD Lamb. Again, Tua, Jalen Hurts. Does one of them continue to pop? Does Jordan Love get a chance to play? I think 2020 is exceptional.
Really happy that I sold my contenders. Not. That's not your fault. Ooh, Kyle. Ooh.
Where's the sound? What does the sound effect do? Can I hit something?
Just hit something.
Oh, perfect. Is that it? Sound effect. One more. Yep, that's what I think of your investment. No, I'm kidding.
Why would you say a bad thing, though?
Did the button stick? I'm sorry.
Kyle Petitillo.
Mm-hmm. Petty.
I like that name. Kyle wants to know.
Can't say that name.
What's the baseline for sending cards in to get graded? Oh, he sent a couple questions. I think he's a little new to the hobby. So what's the baseline for sending cards to get graded?
Okay, so like for PSA right now, the most open option is still about $100. In that case, I want a raw card. Now, Kyle, I will put the. Let me preface this by saying I'm only sending in stuff I think can gem for modern stuff. Like, does it reasonably have a chance at a 10? So for PSA, for the $100 level, I want a raw card that's selling for $400 to $500. To me, it has to be at that level to justify PSA. For SGC, again, for a quick turn, if you just need to know immediately, same thing, that $300, $400, $500 and up, I would send for the 5-day $50 chart. I just think that's great. You get it back in a week, it's $50. Who cares? You know the condition of the card, you know if it's real. For the small stuff, what is the multiplier? So I got in a Bowman, here's a good example. I got in a Bowman's Best Break. Look this up real fast on eBay if you could.
No.
2021,
okay.
Bowman's Best, Julio Rodriguez Refractor. So it's not numbered. I'm just curious. I bring this up as an example because I actually have to sit down today. I got my break hits in. I barely hit anything, but I hit some Kalenic rookies and some Julio Rodriguez, again, non-numbered refractors. If this card sells for $15 to $20 raw, I'm going to guess an SGC 10 sells for $50 to $60. I would take a shot on that at the $23 level because I think it's worth it. So I think for $23, as long as the raw card is selling for $20 or higher, and the multiplier, if it comes back at 10, is, yeah, that's one, do sold listings. And the multiplier of a 10 to a raw is at least 2.5 to 1, then I'm in on it. But like, okay, so actually here's a good example. This Julio Rodriguez card selling for like $15. Keep going down, see if some more. Yeah, 15, that's a different card. So the Julio Rodriguez is selling for like, yeah, $15 to $20. I still might because I think Julio Rodriguez is going to pop. Do one more for me. You don't have to reset the whole thing. 2021 still. Take out Julio Rodriguez and Refractor. And let's put in Kalenic, K-E-L-E-N-I-C, Atomic. So yeah, that Julio Rodriguez, I'd send those in for a shot. Yeah, see, this Kelenic's surprising. I actually thought the Kelenic would be doing a little bit more. I've got an insert here of his that sells. Looks like it's selling for like $25 to $30. Actually, there's the exact card. This Kelenic rookie selling for $26, $27. I'm going to send both those cards in. That's probably the bottom threshold. But for me, if those gem, I'm going to gain $30 to $40 now. And I think, hey, there's potential in the future. They're already graded, easy to do. So I think for the $23 option, you can really bring the price of entry way down. That's okay. A super long answer for somebody who's new. Hopefully that helped, Kyle. Yeah.
I think that was good. I think more detail for the newer guys is.
Yeah. Like, so Kyle, had I looked though, and those been $10 cards. Yeah. I'm not subbing them then. They're not, it's not worth it.
Yeah. All right.
One more.
Yeah. Let's do one more.
Quickie. Let's see. Pick a good one. Like, pick a great question.
Oh, a good one.
Pick like a great question. Pick a good one though.
Not that one. That's for sure. Oh, let's see. Oh, this one starts with my name. Okay. I'll do that one. Jet Thomas, killer name. Jesse, I hope this is directed to you too, because I don't know how to answer 100%. Thoughts on a budding hobby rivalry between LaMelo and Ant-Man. Same draft class, age, and highlight rich playmaking ability. Both teams in playoff contention, both receiving first time All-Star votes. If you had to pick, whose card are you buying? I feel like Jet put my name here to ask me because he's going to choose the opposite of whatever I say, just because
this is a Seinfeld conundrum. Is it what word was emphasized? Jesse, what about this? Or Jesse, what about? Really depends. Where's that emphasis? True.
Where is the emphasis?
We'll if you had to know. Pick, okay, I'm just going to ask you.
If I had
you,
to pick, I would choose LaMelo.
I agree.
And I say that because hype alone.
Yep. Social following's insane. His family's in the news all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly.
He can play.
Here's the thing. You have almost three times the chances of his name coming up in conversation, just because if his brother gets brought up, then it's almost a guarantee that he gets brought up in a similar conversation or along those lines. So that's just my thinking.
Yeah, he's super marketable.
Yeah. Ant-Man's great. I just don't know if he has as much hype.
Yeah, I think on court, I would probably start with Edwards. What we've seen this year is ridiculous, but yeah, in the hobby, I think I would lean toward LaMelo as well.
Man, that feels really good. Let's end on a note where we're both in agreement.
I mean, I'm not mad about it. I have a new segment idea I think would be fun for one of these next times.
Okay.
This or that, or like a name that sport. Some sort of an impromptu trivia for you to really show the people.
Name that sport.
Like a name, like I give you an athlete's name.
Bad?
I give you an athlete's Ooh. Name and you pick, oh, right. This could be super tough for anybody.
Maybe it could be fun.
I would miss on a bunch of that stuff too. Okay. But like, here's a name. What sport did that person play? I think it would be fun. Oh, he hit a Jesse loves it. The people are going nuts. All right.
Everybody loved that idea.
There you go. That's your show for the day. Brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. Like I said, the Jason Holworth interview is going to be on our YouTube. It's already up on YouTube. Bobby Witt Jr. next week will be on YouTube and on the podcast. Hopefully we'll get him for both. Make sure you listen, subscribe, leave a nice review. Tell the big fellow why he is important in your life and why you wish you were related to him.
And share us with your best friends and your mom and dad.
Okay. There you go. We're done. Goodbye.
Bye. I'm